This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. I don't know what you guys were watching last night. If you were watching some hockey, you were watching the Avs. I wanted to see the Rockets and Thunder game. And Durant had some moments in this game, man. Now, he even came out and said, hey, I'm pinning this loss on me. They lost to the Thunder in double overtime. But he missed some key free throws, and then he fouled Shea at the end to send him to the line. And that pretty much did it. He also had a really bad moment that didn't get caught. Watch out, because Dre Greenlaw and Sean Payton are going to run after the referee. According to ESPN, I love how they wrote it, but I was watching that play. So the Rockets didn't have a timeout at the end of regulation. Catastrophe for Durant, and the Rockets nearly unfolded in the first overtime period. So Durant, it's tied up. He snatched a rebound with 2.2 seconds remaining and signaled for a timeout that Houston didn't possess. As teammate Sangoon, is it Sangoon or Sangoon? I was saying it both ways. I think it's Sangoon. Ran over, he's a stud, though. Ran over to stop him. But he did signal a timeout. Was it a Kirby Smart situation? I wasn't calling timeout. I was clapping. That looks way different. Durant wasn't lying about it, though.
I believe that's a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, that was a silly situation. But Durant owned up to it.
Not a technical foul.
Yeah, if you don't have a timeout left, it's a technical foul. The play resulted in a ton of boos from the crowd. Post game pool report revealed that referees didn't whistle Durant for a technical foul in the play because none of the game officials saw him signal for the timeout, according to crew chief Zach Zarba. Shea said, "I think he definitely called a timeout about three times." I don't know. He didn't do the Kirby Smart thing, Mike. He did like the... He had the hands up like really close to the ball. And he just kind of like did that. He almost cupped his hands. It was a shy timeout, I guess. It wasn't Kirby Smart sprinting down the field screaming for timeout. And then they called it. And he's like, what are you talking about? I was clapping.
Shymout is not a real timeout, though.
Yeah, shymout. Yeah. What are we talking about?
Well, you said it was shy, kind of shy. So it's a shy out.
Okay. Yeah. I guess if the refs didn't see it, you know, there's a lot of times you see in a game where a coach has to sprint over to the official and, like, scream for a timeout to be called. They don't see it. Sometimes that happens. So Durant takes responsibility. That was a great game. Houston's going to be a problem. They were a problem last year, but I'm excited for the season, man. And then, like I said, the Lakers lost last night, 0-1. Pretty happy with that situation. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Another story here. Tom Izzo, Michigan State head coach, just absolutely loses his mind. Maybe not loses his mind, but he was not happy. Sounds off on the NCAA after Louisville signs an ex-G leaguer. So here it is. Here's the situation. You got two former G League players recently committing to play for Division I schools. Michigan State coach Tom Izzo said he doesn't respect the NCAA power brokers who've allowed those moves to happen. So here's what he said, and I'll get into the details of this. He said, I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I listen to people talk about how kids changed. Kids aren't the problem. We're the problem. This was sprung on us again yesterday, where a guy can be in the G League for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden he's eligible. Most of my people knew nothing about it. I'm not real excited about the NCAA or whoever is making these decisions without talking to us, just letting it go. They're afraid they're going to get sued. London Johnson is a former four-star recruit who has averaged 7.6 points per game over the last three seasons in the G League. He announced his commitment to Louisville last month. Another G League player, Thierry Dahlgren, announced his commitment to Santa Clara. Both moves kind of go against the NCAA's previous amateurism and eligibility rules, which barred any players who had previously competed for money at a professional level from playing Division I basketball. These kids did not go to college at a high school, Mike. They went and played in the G League rather than going to college basketball. G League, for you, Mike, wondering, minor league, NBA, basically. So this brings up a whole batch of topics and conversation. They used to say, no, you can't do that. So, like, once you declared that you're—I don't know why, but I always go to, like, Emmanuel Mudiay, who was a Nugget. He played—what did he play? 1 year of college? No, he did not play 1 year of college. He was going to play for Larry Brown and then didn't. And out of high school, his family needed money, so he went to China to play basketball and got like $1 million or whatever, and then came into the NBA. Totally fine. Nobody's arguing that. But I always said, like, if you can go somewhere that's willing to pay you $1 million, then go for it. But don't expect to come back to college, right? Yeah, that's a good, like, go Pokes text in. Like, seriously, it's not that far-fetched. So where is LeBron going to commit to? Because LeBron has eligibility, right? He never played. He never played college basketball. I think, they stopped doing it a while ago. Kevin Garnett, I think, was one of those guys. J.R. Smith. Kobe Bryant, I believe. But there was a handful of guys that went straight from high school to the NBA. Well, then they changed it to where the NBA is like, no, you have to be a year out of, I believe it was a year, out of high school. Doesn't matter what you do. If you're just a year out of high school, and if you're good enough, you can still play in the NBA. I mean, it's up to you. Probably better off going to college, but then again, you have European players dominating the NBA now. And they're not, you know, they're playing a lot of professional basketball. They're playing professional basketball at a very early age. Go read the book on Nikola Jokic from Mike Singer. That guy's been in the pro basketball rounds for a while. Per the NCAA's Division I manual, any athlete who has been compensated as a professional beyond actual and necessary expenses, a category that includes health insurance, meals, lodging, and transportation, cannot play college basketball. But the NCAA has bent those rules recently for multiple international prospects who've participated in professional leagues overseas. I believe the Bears might have one of those guys. I want to ask Steve Smiley about this in detail tomorrow. Do I have an issue with that? It hurts your young kids getting into college. But the way it's going now, some of these guys are making just as much money if they were to go to the G League, if not more, or if they were to go play overseas for a year or two. Do you have an issue with players that come out of high school and they want to go make money now playing basketball and then decide, you know what, my best ticket to get in the NBA is to go back to go to college after being out of high school for 2-3 plus years? There's really no limit if you have eligibility. and you want to go do the whole college thing suddenly, it's tricky. It's very tricky. Izzo says, someone is going to say, well, if they go pro and it doesn't work out, they should be able to come back. He added, the college basketball has no rules. If you go NBA pro, for sure, you cannot come back, I would say. But that doesn't fit in the rules now, these new rules. So theoretically, could LeBron James come back? Because the G League is a product of the NBA. Go ahead, Michael.
Brady, I thought I should let you know I have declared for the University of Washington since I have not used my eligibility. They have already accepted me since they know that I went down to Broncos training camp back in 2005 and was so professional.
You were very professional, yes. That's what I heard. You asked a great question. You asked, excuse me, where's the bathroom?
No, I was actually, excuse me, where's the team store?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so the G League is a minor league of the NBA. Should we cut it off at some point? Should we say you can go overseas and play? What if a Nikola Jokic, instead of playing in Serbia for as long as he did, decided, hey, the last year of basketball before the NBA, I would like to go to college? Should we allow that? I think now it's no holds barred. Izzo's gripe is this. Well, what about the freshman you recruited there? That's somebody's son, and he thinks he's got himself a good place, and all of a sudden, shazam, they pull out their hat and bring a 21- or 22-year-old in from the G League. To me, it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing, and I love my job. I don't respect my profession. And I don't respect whoever is doing that. Whoever made those decisions because they're afraid that a lawyer is going to sue them sooner or later, you've got to fight the fight. He says, maybe I'm the dummy, but I'll never agree to that stuff. They have been fighting the fight. I'll give the NCAA this. They are fighting the fight. They have paid dearly. They have pushed back on NIL for years. They have pushed back on unlimited transfer portal stuff. They keep getting sued. And eventually, you're going to get a player that goes to the G League and is like, wait a second. You said I can't go somewhere and make money playing basketball, essentially. These guys are making money playing basketball. So why does that make me different? The answer is it doesn't. Does it ruin a freshman recruit's chances? You just recruited the guy, and then you find out that this kid from the G League wants to enroll at your school and play for your college? Yeah. What if the kid that goes to the G League needed money, man? Go back and look. Google Emmanuel Mudiay's story. The guy needed money. This was before NIL stuff. His family needed money. He was good enough to play overseas. He was good enough to play in China. And he got over $1 million for it. So are we knocking guys now that are like, I'm good enough to make money right now and I need it. Oh, good. I made some money. Now I'm going to go back to college, or I'm going to go to college. So what is it? Is it about, if it's about, oh, we college education, because he's supposed, these guys from the G League are going to essentially take classes, right? We think. So we're not going to give them a right to come back and play college basketball, get a college degree, or at least be in college for a little bit and have that experience? I don't know, man. This is a murky, murky conversation that Izzo's bringing up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And speaking of needing money, look back at I think it was the 1990 Miami Hurricanes who won the national championship. I saw a documentary on them. Some of them were actually selling drugs to make money. One of them, he had his daughter, he needed diapers for his kids. Like, they were doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, selling autographs so that they could make money. Yeah, they were getting free education, but they also needed money.
I don't really have a problem with this, Mike.
I don't either.
I just don't. If you want to go and make money instantly, because you can, you have that ability, go do it. And if you think that that's going to be your quick trip into the NBA, but you're sadly mistaken, Why shouldn't they get a chance if they're good enough to go back to, I keep saying back, to go to college and try to do the college thing for a bit? Yeah, we're going to have older college players. It's kind of funny to joke about it when these guys are 22-year-old freshmen. But it's the Wild Wild West, and it just got a little bit more wild. 20 minutes after the hour. Is the border war going to be wild, Michael? We're going to expect some fireworks from these two teams, Wyoming and Colorado State. Cody Tucker set to join me next. They've made some changes, and I don't think that bodes well for their Jay. So we'll talk to Cody about that coming up next from 7220sports.com. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
NFL and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
We got the border war coming up this weekend. A lot of interesting things kind of surrounding the two teams going into this game. One of them is like, you know, the records aren't fantastic, but there's a lot of change. A lot of change for Colorado State. Some change for Wyoming. Cody Tucker joining me now, 7220sports.com. Cody, I got to do this. I'm sorry. I got to entertain the Hooligans on this show. And go Pokes. Said, I am to ask you if they serve chicken sandwiches in the press box. And I'm supposed to say that that was Go Pokes that asked that question, Cody.
Well, they do, but now there's a limit per one because we have one reporter who stuffs about eight in his backpack, along with about eight Cokes, too. So,
and that's not you, right, Cody?
No, I'm actually on a carnivore diet, so I'm the weirdo who's peeling all the breading off my chicken at this point. So
we got one guy stealing all the chicken sandwiches, and we got another guy is peeling them off and leaving the flakes all over the place. And, and we might have to start doing something else, Codes. That's good. Well, he said, hey, ask him the question, but tell our producer, Michael, to be ready for the delay button. So I was ready for anything there. So did they have to, like, go after him? Did they chase him down? Hey, where are you going with all those chicken sandwiches? It's one per person, man.
Now there's just passive-aggressive signs all over the wall.
So
one per.
One per, please. That's so good. Oh, man. Cody, how are we feeling about this game, man? Obviously, both teams are in a struggling type situation. CSU fired their coach over the weekend. Their former starting quarterback, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi, has left the team. On Wyoming side of things, you got a change at play caller there. We saw that go on with CSU before the crap really hit the fan. So I always look at those kind of things and say, those aren't typically good signs for the head coach for the for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, man, your guess is as good as mine. It really is a mind-racking thing. You don't know what it's going to be, what these teams are going to look like, how they're going to come out, what the motivation level is. I think Wyoming really, really took a gut punch last week. There's no way they should have lost that game to Air Force, and the way they did it, the horrendous turnover, getting cute inside the 3-yard line, is just it's still hard to swallow. So on the bright side for the Cowboys, though, you want CSU next, right? I mean, if this was a game against, you know, I don't know, Nevada, I mean, I think it'd be a little worse off for the Cowboys and the motivation level. So I think it's good. I think they love Javon Bonite, who is now the offensive coordinator, the play caller. They really respect him and loved him because he wore a Wyoming uniform and he did it. He did it on the field, and he's also coached at Oregon, Texas Tech, Kentucky, a number of different stops. But I think Wyoming could get some rejuvenation out of this thing, and this could be Javon Bonite's gig. I mean, this could be something he does for the long haul here. As far as CSU, though, I have no idea why BFN left, but I know that, you know, they know that Tyson Summers isn't going to be their head coach at the end of the year. They know this is just, you know, all temporary stuff. What is their motivation level like? And they're coming into Laramie. So it's so interesting. Jay Sawbell said, I mean, I've seen teams, you know, fake three punts in a game because they just have nothing to lose. And, you know, CSU certainly has less to lose than Wyoming. But it's one of those weird ones, man. It just feels like it's going to be really weird. And another thing that sucks, though, Brady, is – this game needs to start mattering more.
Yeah.
This game needs to start mattering in the standings. And unfortunately, this is the last meeting as Mountain West foes. And it just hasn't mattered, maybe arguably, since 1996. And that's a shame.
Well, and this is what I was talking about yesterday. Like, I don't doubt that any player playing for Wyoming, coaching for Wyoming, diehard fan. And then the same for CSU. I don't doubt those guys are like, oh, I don't care. It's been a weird season. It's not been great, but this is the border war. But for guys like me, that's like, I enjoy watching both teams. There's a lot of those. Like, I like the Rams. They you know, I'll watch them when they're on. There's a lot of those Cowboys fans. Maybe they're not diehard, but they kind of like seeing what they're up to. I was talking about this yesterday, that for those fans, this year, for sure, the sizzle is just not quite there. It's an amazing tradition. I love the rivalry. I'll be watching it. I love everything that leads up to it, and I love what they play for. But with both teams struggling this season, and with both teams, I believe at this stage, it's fair to say, a very uncertain future, to me, the sizzle's not what it used to be.
It might be hard to get people to turn on the TV, you're right, but if they do, I feel like this, once again, could be a bizarre one. This could be one that, who knows, could be 48-45, something like that. It could be wild. There could be no punts, fake punts, trick plays. Who knows, man? I mean, that staff in Fort Collins certainly has nothing to lose. Wyoming, on the other hand, you know, they're 3-4. They took a total gut punch last week, had no business losing that game, but you know, not all is lost for Wyoming. CSU's one touchdown call away from being a one-win football
team. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, Wyoming certainly has a heck of a lot more to play for here. They could still very well make a bowl game here. What sucked about last week's was just the way it happened in Colorado Springs and the fact that, you know, it all but takes you out of the Mountain West Conference race. Now you got to start looking ahead and saying, are there three wins left on the schedule here to get in a bowl game?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, for the Cowboys, there's like for CSU, unless Tyson Summers does something absolutely crazy and they win every game, then even then, the percentage of him being the next head coach, I still think is kind of low just because of the resume and all that stuff, but.
Yeah.
For Wyoming, there's still a lot in front of them. And then you go up against, like you said, frustrating way this game went against Air Force. But Air Force was a team that was putting up 48, 31, 35, 37, 30, 49. And they only got 24 against Wyoming. And so that showed us a lot about what this defense can really do.
Yeah, once again, same old story, right? Defense pulls its weight. Offense doesn't show up to the yard, you know. And Wyoming had one, you know, I hate to call it a garbage time touchdown because they were still technically in it. But really, Wyoming put up 14 points against literally statistically the worst defense in America. And it's inexcusable. And that's why there's a new offensive coordinator this week. And it's just happened far too often. The defense played their tails off. No question about it. We talk about it a lot up here, just, when are the Wyoming Cowboys ever going to have a good offense and a good defense at the same time?
I
mean, it just, you know, my colleague Jared Newland mentioned yesterday, it's probably been since 1988 the last time that's happened. And it's just, it's very frustrating for fans, and it's very frustrating right now because what did we talk about coming into the season, Brady? 9 or 10 new guys on that side of the ball. I don't know if I trust this defense. I got to see what this looks like, and that's why I picked the Cowboys 7th in the Mountain West poll. Who would have guessed that side of the ball would gel as much as they did, pitch a shutout in the opener, and they're only allowing 21, 22 points a game. And they're doing their part, and now it's time to see what happens with this offense. I'm really, really, really interested to see what Javon Bonite does here and see what he thought the problems were from an outsider's perspective. And also have Jay Johnson up in the booth, which, it's funny. He was on the Georgia staff with Tyson Summers. They were on the same staff together at Georgia. And now, obviously Jay Johnson will be up in the booth with a much different game time duties, and he can sit up there and maybe he can pick something out that can help Javon and help the Cowboys win here.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to ask next too, Cody, like what that role looks like for Jay Johnson, and is that a long-term role for him at this point?
No, it's not.
Just kind of
His contract's up in February anyway, and he's a prideful dude. He's a good football coach. You don't accidentally go to Michigan State and Georgia and Minnesota and Colorado and make all these stops. It just didn't work out, and it hasn't worked out here. So this is basically like Tyson Summers really doesn't have a shot to take this job in Fort Collins. Javon Bonite has a huge, huge opportunity to become the Wyoming Cowboys offensive coordinator. That's the big difference here.
Yeah, well, I'll be curious to see what they can do. It was just interesting with how it went down with CSU. I feel different. I feel like this is more of a positive situation because with CSU, Cody, it was in the off season. It was like the rumor was, I think our mutual friend Justin Michael put it out there that Jay Norvell was going to hand down play calling duties to Matt Mummy, and then that kind of dissolved into, oh, never mind. Matt Mummy's going to be the pass game coordinator. Bill Best is going to be the run game coordinator. But Jay's still going to call the plays. This is, even though you don't love it, this is a heck of a lot cleaner than what I just witnessed with CSU the past offseason and, week 4 or 5 into the season.
No question. That, to me, just sounds like a complete disaster of too many cooks in the kitchen. And maybe Wyoming's dealing with that a little bit on special teams. But that's a much different thing than the offense. And as far as Jay Norvell goes, I'm shocked it didn't work. I thought he made chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what in Reno for years, and he brought all the best players from Reno with him here, and I really thought that was going to work out. And what a great human being that guy is. We had a chance to talk to him for an hour off the record at Mountain West Media Days, and we talked about his – we knew his contract was coming up, and he talked about it openly, and he's going to land on his feet, and he's going to be just fine. He literally said, if they don't believe in me, then, I'll go get another job. I've done it 100 times. So just didn't work. And, you kind of knew the writing was on the wall anyway, right? I mean, new AD, going into a new conference, it wasn't his hire. And things just, like we talked about, I mean, they were one overturned call away from being a one-win team with a loss to UNC on their record.
Yeah, you said it. I wonder, my guess is there it was, hey, we don't know if he's the guy for us in the future, but let's see how this season goes. If he rocks it, then yeah, there we go. We'll let him go another year, maybe even talk about a contract extension. But I have to imagine after that UNC game, that was when it was like, okay, the writing's on the wall here. How long do we want to let this go? Maybe not a matter of if, but a matter of when they were going to let him go.
Yeah, and I mean, last year, too, he wins 8 games and takes them to their first bowl since, 2017 and doesn't get an extension. I mean, that kind of said it all, too. And, maybe UNC was the final straw. Also, I think last week having a record-breaking crowd inside of Canvas Stadium and losing the way they did to Hawaii, it's kind of like the equivalent of Evan Svoboda throwing an interception into the end zone last week at Air Force. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was time. Something's not clicking, and it's time.
All right, so I keep hearing the whole interim coach jolt that CSU's going to get. I'm with you. Wyoming's got more to play for long term. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, Cody, so I'm not there yet, but I'm leaning more toward the one with more to gain wins this game this weekend.
Wyoming's winning this football game. I just, I have, I shouldn't say that.
I'm quoting that. I'm going to quote tweet that, Cody. You know I'm doing it.
Do it. Do it. Wyoming's going to win this game. I just don't see any scenario where they let a team like CSU come in here and talk about, you know, straws that breaking camels' backs. If that CSU team and all they've gone through comes in here and beats Wyoming, then, you know, then people are really going to start howling for the head coach here in Laramie. So Wyoming has way more to gain. There is no way they can lose this game. And I'm really excited to see what Javon Bonite does this week. And
I am too.
I'm even more excited to see what Caden Anderson looks like and see if, you know, there's a Bonite effect on him early as well. So Wyoming's defense is playing really well. They're relatively healthy all the way around. And this is a really big game. And if they would have won at Air Force last week, it would have been feeling a hell of a lot better. But like I said, I think it's good to have CSU right now. And this team is, by all accounts, this team's ready to roll. And every guy I talked to on Monday, they put Air Force in the past, and it's on to CSU. Plus, yeah, they're not going to win in black uniforms. I mean, come on.
I do like them.
They're dressed for the funeral already. So,
yeah. I like the uniforms. I'm always just like, I'm not crazy about like a lot of different schemes and stuff. And I know Wyoming doesn't do that a lot. But you know what? Once in a while is okay. I'm an old school old man yelling at the clouds when it comes to jerseys, Cody.
Hey, you know, behind the scenes here, it's brilliant. It's kind of like when they're doing the advertising stuff with the Buffalo Bills. It's brilliant. They eventually want to get a paycheck or get a check from Josh Allen. I mean, it's a good investment right now, and it's something they hope happens down the line here. Coal and oil industry in Wyoming,
yeah,
is massive,
yeah,
and they want to make sure that if it's on the comeback, you know, some of that scratch is heading toward Laramie, Wyoming.
When it's meaningful like that, that's more when I try to just put my swords away on that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
All right, Cody, yeah, I put it out there. Wyoming's going to win this football game. Cody Tucker on the whole show. So, but I don't think Rams fans will do the Buffs thing to you that they did to me. So don't worry about that. We'll make sure.
Yeah. I don't know that Rams fans are exactly.
I think Rams fans might be like, you know, you know what? Cody's got a point there. He's got a good point there.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be safe here.
Yeah. Cody, appreciate it as always, my friend. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Brady. We need to get you up here sometime.
I know. Right? I know it. That someday that will happen. I promise.
All right, buddy. Have a great week.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. 12:41 the time. Michael, should we take a quick break? You were ready,
yes,
to go. You were ready to go. Let's do it. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. I don't know, man. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. But just looking at the situation for Wyoming, yes, I don't think it's a good sign when halfway through the season you have to change up the play caller. But with what CSU is doing, what they did, and what they're doing now is just a little bit clunkier, honestly.
So you're picking Wyoming?
No, it picks her on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Mike, I didn't know that.
But now they have another play caller for CSU. So Grant Chestnut will become CSU's offensive coordinator and play caller. So Matt Mummy is the pass game coordinator. Bill Best is the run game coordinator. And Grant Chestnut is the offensive coordinator. So I just, for Matt Mummy and Bill Best, like, I'm totally just seeing that scene, Michael, in a very popular movie that we all love, when the Bobs are sitting down with what was he, Tom Schmisowski? I can't think of, no. Yeah, it's Tom Schmisowski, whatever his name is, in the office. It's Tom. And the Bobs are sitting him down, and they basically start grilling him.
What would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that?
I love Matt Mummy. And I don't really know Bill Best, but I've seen him. But I do just have that in my brain, Mike. Like, okay, so who's the offensive coordinator? Okay. Yeah, Grant Chestnut's going to take over. And Matt, you're the, I'm the pass game coordinator. Oh, okay. And Bill's the run game coordinator. So then you run, I'm coordinating the pass, and then he's coordinating the run, and then he's actually coordinating the offense. So what we've coordinated and what he coordinated. No.
Need John C. McGinley to just show up and say, what
yes.
would you do
what
here?
What do you say you do here? Now we got 4 million guys calling plays. I don't buy it. 12:49 the time. We'll see. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. We'll be right
when
back.
When are they?
Michael will be right back. You know when they are.
Monday.
Why are you?
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red hot takes. On Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I don't intend for my greatness to really just catch on, but it does. I love this text. Faith, funny story. A coworker asked me who I thought was going to win a particular game this weekend, and with zero hesitation, I said, picks are on Friday. Everyone knows that. Needless to say, they were very confused. Oh, Faith. Susan and Cheryl, can you wake up back there? Stop rubbing Michael's shoulders. He doesn't like it. He's not a touchy-feely kind of guy. Please leave him alone. But thank you.
I don't have emotions.
That made my day. That's what it's about, man. Picks are on Friday. Everyone knows that. Because a lot of people throughout the weeks would ask me. It's the one and only time I'm explaining how we came up with this. It would ask me all the time, who I like. I'm like, stop. I'm not telling you. Picks are on Friday.
Yeah, you don't get your information until Friday morning.
I get all my information throughout the week, but I need every single day, Michael. Every day is work. I'm like a head coach now. Every single day, I lose. If I'm off for a day, I lose information. Picks are on Friday.
How about your Thursday picks?
Yeah, how about last week's picks? We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.